May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is a New Year's Eve party. The last Sunday of our church year. I almost brought party favors, but I wasn't sure. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Reign of Christ. Christ resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ in whom all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And we celebrate our inheritance of the saints in the light. Celebrate being rescued from the power of darkness and transferred into this kingdom of Christ. Take a moment with me to reflect over the past year. Have you seen the kingdom in your own life? In the life of St. Bede's? In the world around you? As those of you who have been Episcopalians much longer than I have already know, our church years are not discrete volumes on a shelf, each with a happily ever after ending. In our acknowledgement and celebration of the reign of Christ, we are not asked, nor liturgically allowed, to be glib, because the church years are cycles that come back around, every season tied to the one before it and after it, yet always experienced in a new moment, a new context, so that we have the opportunity to see and be something more. The next step we will take on our journey is into the new year, the season of Advent, the practice of hopeful waiting for Christ to come. Glorious light and dark longing tie our year together. Some of you may know my story of the summer of 2017, of our move from Mexico to Atlanta, a place where we knew no one, of my walking from our furniture-less apartment through the early morning heat to the closest church on the first Sunday of our new adventure. I walked into St. Bede's in time for the 8:15 service. A couple of weeks later, when they were sure I wasn't overselling the place, my family followed. But you may not know that my family was not attending an established church for the last several months we lived in Mexico. And honestly, I didn't know if we ever would, if I ever would, again. We had arrived in Arandas, a medium-sized town in the highlands of Jalisco, Mexico, 10 years earlier, sent by my husband Judah's childhood church. We were administrative, part-time missionaries, coordinating and facilitating short-term missions groups that were sent by churches in the States. That was our job. But little by little, our lives were enveloped into a beautiful belonging at our local Baptist church. At first, I could barely stumble along in Spanish, hoping not to offend anyone, and grateful for gracious friends and teachers. But eventually, we were knitted into this kingdom community. We taught Sunday school, we led the youth group, we planned worship services, always under the leadership of our dear friend and pastor, Raul. But then our church faced a challenge. Jimmy was a student at the college where a member of our congregation taught. He had been outed as gay by a friend and lived with rejection. His teacher invited him to our church. There he heard and believed that Jesus loved him. He was embraced by the congregation. And after over a year, he decided he wanted to be baptized, as Baptists do when they fall in love with Jesus, the Jesus who loves them. But there was a problem for this kingdom community. Jimmy's conversion hadn't made him straight. The community had waited, and he was still gay. When Jimmy asked Raul to baptize him, Raul explained to him that Jimmy needed to stop being gay, or at least promise to try every day to stop being gay in order to be baptized. Jimmy wasn't kicked out, but he didn't come back. It isn't that the Baptist church or that Raul himself was not sharing in the inheritance of the saints of light. Raul had been rescued from the power of darkness just like I had, just like Jimmy had. But our church and Raul had erected their own wall around the kingdom. Only part of creation, the part that looked like him, like us, was welcome inside. But our lesson today teaches us that God is pleased to reconcile to God's self all the beautiful, wild things God has created. All creation belongs. In an effort to keep out the darkness, Raul had only given Jimmy two choices: be excluded or be invisible. Being genuinely himself was not an option. We met with Raul on a Thursday in the empty sanctuary. We let him know that Jimmy and another young man who had chosen to leave because Jimmy was not welcome, wanted to continue to meet, to study and worship together, and we were going to join them. Raul warned us. He said, "You better be careful." I'm not sure what he thought might happen, that our missions organization would send out a letter warning everyone on their mailing list that we are false teachers, that our sending church would ask us to renounce our membership, that Raul himself would feel compelled to publicly call us out as heretics. If so, all his fears were realized. But I think maybe he was most concerned that if we chose to embrace and celebrate our gay brother, we might be transferred back to the power of darkness outside the walls of the kingdom. Over the next few months, beginning with that seed of Jimmy and his friend, a community of those who didn't belong gathered together. The foreigners, the mentally ill, the gay and bisexual and not yet out, the hungry, the addicted, the shunned, the abuse survivors. We met on Saturdays to read from the lectionary, sing, pray, and offer each other bread and wine. We shared snacks and laughter. We came to call the group Leper Sabbath. We went ahead and baptized Jimmy. As I prepared for today's sermon, I asked my friend Rachel what Leper Sabbath had meant to her. She answered this way: "We put into motion what was our core belief, the belief that we are beloved. We are created to be genuinely ourselves. And in that way, we can best reflect the glory of the Almighty, the essence of true love, true justice, genuine generosity, and heartfelt compassion." Rachel continued, "I always loved the fact that we called it Leper Sabbath, not only because there was this tongue-in-cheek notion that my sarcastic little snarky heart just loved, that we had all been cast out for being unworthy and unclean. But more beautifully, I saw it as this picture of us all bandaged up, all wounded, all in desperate need of healing. And we found in each other a place where that could happen. And those bandages, as we took them off, strip by strip, and dealt with the bloody, disgusting mess that was underneath, and were able to soothe and be a balm to each other, there was a stripping away of all that old body. And I know that's a really viscerally disgusting picture, and yet there was something very beautiful to me and the notion of all these unnecessary parts coming off, being gone, and this regeneration of who I truly am, this rebirth of new skin, of healed, maybe with scars, but healed, strong, strengthened bodies. And that name of Leper Sabbath became this picture of belonging when you are cast out. It became a place of healing and of getting rid of the dead bits. Our lesson teaches us that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the peeling away of the dead bits, those bits where injustice enslaves us, where we reject ourselves and others, where violence is done on our behalf. This week, a friend of mine posted a link to a podcast interview with the Reverend Elizabeth Edmond, Episcopal priest and author. Her work profoundly connected with my experience of Leper Sabbath and with today's lesson. I wanted more, so I sent a quick text message to my friend Simeon, who graciously lent me their copy of Edmond's book, which is out on the table, Queer Virtue. Now, a side note here. Words change meaning over time. Entering the English language in the 16th century, queer originally meant strange, odd, peculiar, eccentric. In the late 19th century, the word queer was weaponized to denigrate and dehumanize LGBTQ people. Then, in the late 20th century, some in the LGBTQ community began to reclaim the word queer, to embrace and celebrate the differences others denigrated. But even now, not all people in the community feel comfortable with a word that was used as a bludgeon against them. So please don't take this sermon as a thumbs up to start throwing the word queer around indiscriminately. But importantly, since it has been reclaimed, the word queer is sometimes used specifically to describe any moment, experience, or identity, any reality that breaks into and ruptures categories, especially binaries, showing them to be false or incomplete. As Edmond explains, in that disruption, in that upending, it is not to say that all binaries are bad or that all boundaries are bad, but it is to say that there are times when binaries are false. There are times when boundaries are imposed in order to pit people against each other. Edmond reminds us that Christianity tells the story of God's transgressive movement into human history. Christ constantly ruptures the binaries that would otherwise create walls around our understanding of the kingdom. When we lean into those uncomfortable, ruptured spaces, Christ's reign is extended and realized. Edmond identifies three core binaries that Christ ruptures. First, that God and humanity are fundamentally distinct from each other. As our lesson points out, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in a human. It is in Jesus that we see what the invisible God is like. We learn that authentic humanity does not inherently obscure divinity. We can bring our whole authentic selves to the kingdom. Second, that life and death stand in opposition to each other. Instead, as Edmond observes, resurrection insists that experiences of death are an essential component to a life truly lived. Our lesson calls the rupturing Christ the firstborn from among the dead. God does not hesitate to enter into our experiences of death, to travel through death with us, Edmond reminds us. And so, we also can travel through death embracing the process of recognizing and removing the dead bits, knowing that renewed, healed life is worth the scars. Third, that we must police the categories of us and them, self and other, that religious beliefs and practice are part and parcel of tribal identity, staking out boundaries that are crossed at the expense of social cohesion. Our lesson ties the kingdom to both the totality and the diversity of creation. There are no walls delineating who gets to take part. And each creature is welcome as they are authentically created to be. But how do we live out that ruptured binary of self and other in Christian community? Edmund observes that a healthy approach to self and other is a balancing act. And the impulse to create binaries, especially false binaries, can throw a person or community off balance. When we navigate it well, we build each other up. When we get it wrong, we damage ourselves and one another. Raoul's community was off balance. Damage was done. Self and other were distinct and separate, unconnected, binary. Jimmy, and later those who worshipped with him, were, as Edmund puts it, cast not just as different, but as despised. As I sat waiting for the service to begin that first Sunday at St. Bede's, I read the printed welcome. Welcoming people, regardless of race, gender, age, culture, ethnicity, sexual orientation, education, economic circumstances, family configuration, or physical ability. And I felt hope. That this community was committed to different, never being despised. And I'm a crier. But Edmund points out that there is another surprising way that communities can fall into this binary. That is when we assume or force others to be or become not different. This happens when we just love everybody without making room for or seeing or celebrating true differences. We kindly welcome. We genuinely love, but we stop short of really wanting to know you. You are included, but please stop talking about that bit that makes many of us somewhat uncomfortable and focus on what we all have in common. Just including someone doesn't automatically make them seen, known, visible. As Edmund observes, the end result is an erasure of the other's humanity, rendering a person or community invisible or non-existent. Maybe you noticed several months ago, but if you look at your bulletin today, you will see the small but important change St. Bede's Vestry has made in the wording of our welcome statement. Welcoming people regardless of differences has been changed to welcoming and affirming people of every difference. This change points to our community's choice to embrace this ruptured binary. It is a change that says we are committed to different, never meaning invisible. We share in the inheritance of the saints in the light, and the light itself shows us the darkness that is still within us, among us, around us, the dead bits, that are not true to who we are created to be, the ways we make ourselves and each other invisible or despised. And because we are no longer under the power of darkness, there is no shame in recognizing where we have erroneously embraced a binary that needs rupturing. There are just always more opportunities for taking hold of our inheritance through the process of vulnerability, becoming, authenticity, making room, seeing, embracing, and calling over and over, moment by moment, day by day, church year after church year. As those who have been on the Christian journey longest can teach us, the kingdom reality that we experience today and celebrate today is only a fraction of what we have yet to enjoy. Amen.